Accepted, worthy, and dead. Precious back. fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunging today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His presence holy name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to
Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll give your blessings upon the word today. And Lord, help me to say only, Lord, the things that you would have me to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the songs said, Look upon the things of God. Amen. All the things of this world will grow strangely dim. You know, that can go the opposite way, too. You can look upon the things of this world, and the things of God will grow strangely dim. Amen. In our lesson today, though, we find that the hour that this was set for, amen, in the time of King Uzziah, yes, he had a time that he was king that the children of Israel was actually taken into captivity. And then you have Isaiah here coming in at this, he's already here with King Uzziah, and he was already here. But there was some times that came that was kind of uncertain times. Uncertain times was what it was, and during the reign of King Uzziah, they had wealth. It was a wealthy time. But yet, amen, yet it was a time of confusion, a time of uncertainty. Wealth will never bring certainty. Amen, a lot of times it'll bring uncertainty because we get our eyes off of the things that we should have our eyes upon and get them on other things. And then the things of this of God grows strangely dim. Amen. But during a period of time of uncertainty, we have to understand one thing that it'll reveal in this lesson. Amen. Times may be uncertain for you, but God remains the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that's what Isaiah finds in this time. He finds that God is still the same. He didn't change a bit. Amen. Though we may have uncertainties, we may have times that we're discouraged and things, but the Bible says in our focused thought, I will surrender to God and be used for His will. Amen. When we surrender to God, you know what surrender means? It means recognizing your weakness and somebody else's strength. Whatever it might be, but we have to recognize first our weakness, amen, that we have need of God, and then God will be there in His strength. He's made strong in our weakness. Amen. But the world today, they want to be strong in themselves and weak in God. We have a lot of things that people are saying today on media and everywhere else, and they're doing these evil things, and they say it's the will of God. I don't know how they can say, I don't know how the things can even be said that are said in this era that we live in. But one thing you can be sure of, at every end of every age, man didn't just all of a sudden come to a whole lot of truth. He let a whole lot of truth go. And that's where we're at today. We're in this hour of uncertainty. A lot of times we'll choose to be blind because it's more comfortable to be blind than it is to see. So sometimes we just choose to be blind. But Isaiah in that time, and he ruled during the king of Uzziah, and I believe that maybe they might have been close, I don't know, but the Bible says he went to the temple. And in the temple, it said in the year of that King Uzziah, 6 and verse 1 of our scripture text, that in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. God was still there. God just revealed himself. Amen. I'm still here. Uzziah's gone, but I'm still here. And with Christians, we always got to keep our eyes on Jesus, and because he'll never fail you. He can't fail us. And many times, I went through lots of times that I felt discouragement. I felt like God, sometimes I've asked God why, and now that I've matured more in God, I'm kind of like Isaiah. Things don't change. People do. But God never changes. He always is there the same. He's right there. If you left him, he's right there where you left him at. He might walk along with you, but you have to go back where you left him from. Amen. But truth and worship is more important than all the good that we do. We know that. You have to be in truth and worship all the way through the Bible. We've seen that. And Uzziah, as the Bible says, he was a good king. He was one of the good kings. There was only 8 of them on the Judah side. And on Israel's side, there was 0. There was no king that did good because none of them had truth and worship. They might have been good men, but they didn't have truth and worship. So therefore, they was all counted not good, not good, not good, not good. All the way down, bad. They have bad wrote by their name. And I can be good. I can be impressive. I can do all the good things. But I still got to have truth and worship. That's reading Israel never received a good king. They never had one. And I looked through and I read some of them. I said, they seem pretty good to me. But God still put. They did wicked in that they remained in the sins of Jeroboam. When he left the truth and worship, they remained with him. So therefore, they was bad. Today, they say, after all, we all serve the same God. I don't know about that. Let them believe that if they want to, but I'm going to try. I'm not going to be perfect. I'll probably say things up here today that were not just right. But I'm going to try to do my best. And that's all you can do is do your best. But Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He accomplished many great things. He was a king where they invented a lot of things. The Bible said there was many things invented, most of them for war. And that's where, most of our inventions come from the where they go and make up all of these things to make war with. Then the people in the private sector will take them and build them and sell things to the people. But most of those inventions came, amen, by all these scientists they got put together to make war. And that's what they did in his day. But a lot of things that you see today, they got from the from our government and things, of some of the things that they come up with, and then they built them and made money off of them. But things just goes on. But anyway, he accomplished many great things. However, when he became strong, the Bible says he was lifted up to his destruction. You know, the worst thing that we can do is get lifted up in pride. Amen. A proud heart will be to our destruction. And pride, to the way I see it, and the Bible speaks of it in many references, that pride is the root of all sin. Money's the root of all evil. I mean, money, after chasing the money, that's the root of all evil, but pride's the root of all sin. And that's what came up within Uzziah, all of these things. He got all uplifted in himself. And then the Bible says, to his destruction. Here's what he did. Here's another thing he did. When after he got all brought up in himself, he went into the temple to offer incense, to burn incense upon the altar of incense, which was to be done by the priest only. No truth in worship. That's the same. The last time I was up here, it was Saul that did that. Saul was sacrificing things up that contrary to the word of God. And that's why we have to be in the word of God as much as we can be. And I know that none of us are going to be perfect in it. If it required perfection, I would be at loss. But it's supposed to be done by the priest. But what did God do? God gave him leprosy. And it stayed till the day he died. Sometimes sin, amen, will bring God's judgment, even in this hour. It can. Amen. I often wonder, for a long time, and this is the way we'll get to in Isaiah here, I felt like I wasn't qualified to do anything. All the things I did out in the world, I come into the church, I felt inadequate. Amen. I felt like, I said, no, that's for the preachers. I said, they got to take care of those things. And I felt inadequate to do anything in God. And I'd get up front, and no matter if I sang or whatever I do, I'd get just as nervous as I could be because of the inadequacy that I felt. But actually, that's not a bad thing. Amen. In the presence of God's holiness, we are to feel inadequacy. Amen. As we'll see as we go on. Amen. Isaiah, he humbled, he found out that just because of the things that he has saw and the things that others have done, amen, that mattered not. God still remained on the throne. And a lot of times we can take difficult times, and if you look at them wrong, amen, it can cause you to fall. But if you look at them right, as Isaiah did, it's just a stepping stone to better things. Amen. And that's what Isaiah did in this lesson. It was a stepping stone to him. He just went up a little bit higher. And I believe he was discouraged. I believe he went to the temple for a purpose, to talk to God about what now. You know, and God let him know. He said, hey, I'm still here. What it's all about, it's all about me. You know, and those kind of things. But there was a vision of God. It's called a vision of God's holiness that was revealed to Isaiah. And God will reveal his holiness to you. Whenever I walked into church, it didn't matter what kind of church it was, I didn't know anything about anything. I always felt conviction. Amen, because I felt like I was walking into the presence of God. I learned a lot of things, but God has to, he builds in us off of what we know. I mean, we don't know nothing. Well, sometimes he can plant a seed in nothing and do better with it. But our focus, I will surrender to God and do his will. And we find in Isaiah 6:1, we read, in the year that King Uzziah had died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In Psalms 118 and 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Amen. I know everybody here knows of somebody that you've got lots of confidence in, but that's good. That's very good. Amen. Brother Wells has been with us, what, 6-7 years? He's done a lot of good. Amen. But time for him to move on. Well, let's just all quit, slam the doors on our way out. But no, put our confidence in God. Amen. Myself, the way I see things, I don't see how somebody can stay 6 years, 7 years. But man can do whatever God has called them to do. Amen. Because, you know, God's ways are above our ways. He's in the heavens are from the earth. You know, the saying is necessity is the mother of invention. Did you know, although we think we're losing the great pasture, you know, we can do better? We can do better. Just keep that in your mind. Use it as a stepping stone, not one to fall off the stairs with. But go up to another step. Amen. A lot of times in our weakness, God is made strong. When we feel like I'm just out of it, this is it for me, that's when you need to do like Isaiah did. Go to the temple. Amen. And seek the face of God. Amen. Because he'll have your answer. Amen. Isaiah 6 and 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. You know, I could have spent 2 months on getting all of that together and getting all the things, and you know what? I still come up with just theories. That's where science is at. Now, some of these things, I look at that and I say, what am I supposed to say about that? But God's ways are not our ways, even though the heavens are from the earth. Amen. He had some said that, well, this seraphims was protecting God's holiness. So now we all know what it's about, right? We still don't know. We can never understand all of God's ways. But one thing you can be sure of, he's right where he's always been. Amen. But when necessity comes about, amen, that's when we reach up. Now, they said in this scripture that of Isaiah 6, now remember, 5 chapters had already been about Isaiah and his ministry. Some say, well, this is where he began his ministry. That's where it began. And then others say, no, it was just another step up. And that's what I believe. We don't never get tired. We don't never stop growing. We never stop growing. When you think you've got all you need, you're talking to the wrong God. Because God's got a whole lot more for us. Amen. Sometimes the vision that you see, I don't think they're really meant to be understood. They're meant to reveal God's glory, God's power, God's awesomeness, and who he is. And who he is beyond understanding. Isaiah 6 and 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, sometimes we get familiarity. We get so familiar with things. Now because the Pharisees said Jesus is the son of sin, the friend of sinners. Well, now everybody says Jesus is friend of sinners. Well, the Pharisees said that. And he is our friend. But if you want to be his friend, you've got to keep his commandments. It says, no greater love has any man that he lay down his life for his friend. And then you are my friends if you do whatsoever I commandeth you to do. We have to become the friend of Jesus. through his accepting him, accepting God and the sacrifice that he sent. But no, they take, the Pharisees said, Jesus is a friend of sinners. Now the sinners think Jesus is their buddy. When he is God Almighty in flesh and to be reverent as God Almighty. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, you know, God sends rain. Thank God for rain, right? We couldn't live without it. But why does he send lightning, thunder, and tornadoes and hurricanes with it? You know what? We're to fear God in his goodness and also his severity. Remember God's goodness, but remember also God's severity. Well, see, that's the thing that we want to forget. See, God is, he is revealed in his glory. He's revealed in his creation. But we get up every morning and we never think about the sun being a miracle. We never think about the skies and the clouds and all the things that grows for us. We never think about the miracle of life, that no man can produce it. Man can't even produce a seed that will grow. But we never think about those things. We're so familiar with them, we take them for granted. And that's what we do with the things of Christ. We're so familiar with it that we take it for granted. Oh, he just died for my sins, you know. They don't see him, so they just take him any way they want to. But we have to learn of him. And I know that God has helped me in many ways. And there's many other ways I know he's going to have to help me in yet. But we'll get on. We're going to run out of time. Okay, Proverbs 16 and 18. I spoke of pride a little bit ago. But you know, pride is something that man takes pride of. Pride is something that man's proud of. But God hates it. You know, I want to be up to the end of my life and tell everybody I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. In other words, I didn't need no God. I didn't need nobody but me. Amen. We want to think of ourselves, the very thing that is the enmity of God. The flesh is the enemy of God. And we want to take care of it more than we do our spiritual things. It's true. Man, I make right sure of getting close to dinner time. If she ain't started, I'm going to remind her. But I'm going to take care of this flesh. But if we forget prayer time, maybe I'll forget it too. We just need to be hungry for the things of God. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before the destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, if you was to take pride and of the top 10 things that we want to hear someone say to us, I'm proud of you. Our flesh just loves it. But once we get puffed up and uplifted, the Bible says to a point to your own destruction. Now, I believe pride can be used in a lot of good ways. I'm proud of my kids. Even the one that ain't doing right. He's got some good. But there's a lot of things that we can get into ourselves where we're puffed up to the point that we can no longer serve God because we're self-serving. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. But humility goes before honor. You can't serve God without humility. You just can't do it. It can't be done. Because you'll become self-serving. You think more of yourself and things of your things than you do of God. It's just the opposite. The spirit is just the opposite of what our flesh wants. Haughty is to have an arrogant demeanor. Someone I know well would call you a jerk. That's just another word for being arrogant. Took him a while to get it, but he got it. I wasn't talking about him, though. Proverbs 21:4, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Do you know haughty eyes and a proud heart is a light to the way you go? Don't the Bible say Jesus Christ is a lamp or a light into our pathway or a lamp into our feet? I get them two mixed up. But now you find out what is the light of the flesh. The light of the flesh is haughty eyes and a proud heart. It's the lamp of the wicked. It's sin. You can never find the truth in God with a proud heart or a haughty spirit. A proud heart will bring a haughty spirit. The flesh is enmity against God because it's proud and lifted up and become its own God. Rebels against God's will. But to humble is to surrender to God's way. And a proud heart just can't do that. We just can't find it in us to do it. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And least I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The measure of Satan buffeted me, least I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes, you know, we may be thinking, God, he just don't like me. He won't do this thing that I ask him. Well, maybe you need that thing to stay humble before God. Verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He didn't do it once. He did it three times. He asked God to take that thing away. And Paul, he had laid hands and healed, helped people to be healed. Amen. He brought the bread of life to people, and yet he had trouble getting prayers answered. God knows you better than you know you. And verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Paul found out, he said, I'm not as much as I thought I was. Amen. He had to yield completely like we do. He had to humble himself before he could do God's service. And he needed that thorn in the flesh. But many people had walked away from God because they had that thorn in their flesh. But they needed it to serve God. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than in the power Christ may rest upon me. Isaiah 6:4, and the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah 6:5, which is a fact of life. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If we can walk into the presence of God and keep our shoulders back and square it away and feel like we're somebody, you haven't seen God. Amen, because God's Spirit is going to bring you, going to humble you, unless you have too much pride to be humbled. And then it's to your own destruction. Just a little bit more here, and I'll be all done. Paul said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know what Paul's saying here? Many want to use that their excuse to just go their own way, but here's what I think he's saying. Not serving it so as to live in it or to allow it, but was unable to free himself from it. He couldn't get away from that thing. It's like a ball and a chain hooked on him. It's with us. He says, wherever I try to do good, evil is present. It's always right there. And he said, I can't get away from it. He said, who will deliver me from this body of sin, this body of death? Amen. But he will be delivered from it one day. Only Jesus Christ can deliver him from that. The day that he dies, that thing will be with him. Isaiah 6:6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You know, I didn't come as a perfect man. Isaiah, already I believe in his ministry. Amen. He said, Whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. He was talking about his imperfection. How can he stand before this holy God in his imperfection? I come not as a perfect man. This is, but one thing I do know, God has counted me worthy. And if he knew me like I knowed me, I don't even know why he saved me. All the struggles, all the things that I went through. Amen. Like I say, I'm not perfect, but I'm a long way from where I was. Not that it makes me any more perfect. It don't make me any more perfect for salvation than it does anybody else. And also, 6 and 8, my final verse. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You know, we're touched by the living coals of the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. And that's the thing that makes us different whenever we come to God. We repent of our sins, we're baptized in his name, and then that Holy Ghost fire, amen, touches these lips. I speak different, I talk different, I act different. Mainly I do because I'm my resistance to the evil. I wasn't made perfect, but my resistance to evil. That's what helps me. That's what makes me different. But does that save me? No, Jesus Christ saved me. Ephesians 4:15, by speaking in the truth and love, may grow up, mature into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This verse, surrender to his will, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body in the edifying of self in love. We don't all have the same office. But you know what? The only thing required of any of us is just do the best we can do. And that's what God wants. Amen. And I thank God that he didn't put that sin back upon my shoulders and make me responsible for my own salvation again. My salvation is still in Christ Jesus. Always will be. Praise the Lord. I hope I helped you some today. God bless you.
Because at this time we'll find
a place to pray or worship God or go get a drink of water, whatever you need.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will live.